Thank you. over Jericho, but then along came fire. Now, if you had experiences like that, I certainly have. There were times in my week I was kind of wondering, what is God doing? Is God, is God withdrawn? His blessing on me? And why do these things happen that sometimes make us feel defeated? So I want us to just remind you, be reminded, if you didn't know this already, about the fault. I think the fault, we can say, we can point fingers and say, oh, so-and-so. Of course, in this case, his name was Abel. But wasn't equally a fault of pride, I think it was, on the part of Israel and Joshua. So success can breed pride. Pride comes before a fall, we're told in the Bible. So it's something that we should be aware of. I know we like to sometimes brag or not. You know, if we're not given brag, most people, Christians realize that's not appropriate. But so what about other people brag on us? And we get thinking, well, maybe there is something in me that is special. Well, maybe there is something special in each of us. But sometimes we can think, well, this victory is me because of mine. Well, because I'm just such a committed person, and God has to bless, and so dedicated to that. How I love him, and I want to be a faithful disciple. Well, that's true of all of us. That is why I think we need to be aware of this fault of pride. And we're faltering. They were already faltering, even though they didn't know it. And they said, what do we can do up there? We all have to go. I'm saying the weakest of the army up there, and we can easily overtake this little town of Ai. But it was because they followed their own counsel. I think it happens to us when we neglect the word in our lives, when we neglect prayer. We go out the door without even sometimes lifting up a prayer to the Lord, asking his call, his guidance in our lives. Well, that's a sure way to have a fall like happened to Joshua in his life, you know. So there was a faltering, and there was a fall. Pride goes to the word of instruction. Proverbs 16:18 says, a haughty spirit before a fall. And so they were mounted by the man on high. So now that now it wasn't for this instance, we probably wouldn't have known it wasn't like it was a fall. They were mounted. And about 36 were killed. And you can just imagine the grief that there was in those families. Here are 36 that really, you would say, should not have died. But all the way back, I believe, it comes home to us when we begin to think, well, it's something in me I just want to fit into the average person. I think it happens especially to those of us that attend at God's house and study the Bible and try to read the Bible every day and pray and be faithful in the duties and the disciplines of discipleship. The pride can happen. It happened to Joshua and the Israelites. It can happen to us. I want to go down to the passage there, skipping some verses of it. It says, the Lord said to Joshua, this is after the defeated Ai, of course, Israel has sinned. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. Early the next morning, Joshua had Israel put forward by tribes, man by man, and Achan was taken in city. Some verses there, but as you can follow the narrative there. So there's the lesson of pride. But there's also the lesson of a person, a very influential person. So aren't we all? I think we all are. We're more influential than we think. People look at us, look at you, and they say, well, there's a Christian. And maybe you feel like you're not a very good Christian. Others really respect that. I think in their hearts, usually, if we're living the trust. Like, we're not living the trust in the hypocrisy of worship. But there was a rotten apple in the barrel that we looked at. And his name was Abel. One person can spoil victory for many. Interestingly, Aiden's name means trouble. Something that a name that we probably can call it for once. So, I was as you call that, another defense, whoever that is. Sometimes saints. So I think we can all kind of identify with Abel. Hopefully not in his untimely death, because he was stoned for his sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what is it that causes us to stumble? Well, sometimes I think God does that, allows that, to make us realize that his strength is not in us, but the strength is in God, who is in us. If we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. But there are things that will happen, that can happen, be allowed to happen. I don't think it had to happen with Abel. I'm sure maybe he might have thought, well, I can't change the way I am. I just like him less things. And I haven't had many less things in this life of living pretty much from hand to mouth, living, walking through the wilderness. I think we all somewhat identify with it. Well, I deserve better than what I've gotten. And it all began with the sight. Jesus warned about the eye being evil. And I don't think he meant that God created us with an evil eye. And with this evil nature in our life, it makes us covet at the things that we don't have. But I think what he meant is that temptation usually begins with the eyesight. Looking on something and lusting at it, covering it in our hearts, as happened here with Abel. He saw it, he coveted it, and thus violated the commandment. But certainly it was part of that part of it. It brought the whole nation down. Have you ever felt like sometimes you're the one who's leading the nation? I felt that a lot of times. And I think maybe in some sense we are, because we are all sinners. And we all fall short of the glory of God. And I wonder if Abel had not confessed his sin right away and dealt with it with the terrible tragedies he began to hurt him. But he did not. So there was his sight, his sin. Jesus said, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance, but in the things he possesses. You may remember this was the sin of Lot's wife. She looked back at all of the things she was looking behind and saw the wonderful life that they had. And so I can't imagine it would have been that wonderful, but I think it wasn't really once. At least she thought it was. And then there was the descendants. We took. So we saw covenant, and then we took. Thus violating the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. And now it may be a good thing that we have some people today because of these things. Otherwise, we're probably all going to get skulls smashed in by stones. What's the difference? Well, I think the difference is the fuel's flavor of sin in the face of recent memories of the crossing of the Red Sea and the Jordan River, the getting of the Ten Commandments. This was a flagrant sin against God that had been dealt with. But it began with a person. I think it behooves us to realize that there are the grace of God on us. And speaking of Abel, we are all guilty before God's judgment. The Bible says all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. I believe the greatest man who ever lived under the Jesus Christ, of course, was the Apostle Paul. And yet he described himself as the chief of sinners. I think it shows the a great understanding that Paul had of his own sinful nature. And can bring a humility to us and make us realize that it's all of Christ, it's all of his strength in us that enables us to live in him and to just surrender ourselves daily to him. So very important. Now we're going to look down at chapter 8 a little bit, just before the law. What happened after this? Well, after the sin of Abel was dealt with, you can read about that if you're interested. Very enlightening, I think. But we're going to look at what happened after the sin was dealt with. The Lord said, "Thou shalt take the whole army with you." and go up to the Hittites, and I have delivered it into your hands. Then the Lord said to Joshua, pull down for thy the javelin that is in your hand, for into your hand I will deliver the city. Israel cut them down, leaving them neither survivors nor fugitives. I love this kind of story from the Lord. But they're kind of politically incorrect in the rest of those things. Again, God doesn't call us to deal with our enemies. You know, there are dispensations in the Bible. And Jesus said, you've said to yourself, I'm not denying the truth of you, but I said, if you love your enemy, you give it to those who despiteful men preach you. So there's a different dispensation of the year, of the year I call to go and fill our enemies like this. Except they have. In the nations, it's great, and I think war is sometimes misinformed. That way. But I want us to think about pride, a person, in a place. Like Joshua and the Israelites were all going to have to face and conquer our odds. And think about that from the world. So there's a place, and that place was Pilate. In the Old Testament, you know that the high places were not often good places, because these were places that the Israelites would often worship pagan deities. Now, I'm not sure that that is exactly the reason for why God agreed that the high would be destroyed. But I think it's a good connection here to realize that God hates anything that is not according to His will, because it will be His strength. And there are other gods, small g, the Bible makes clear to us that not real gods at all, but demons. And the Bible says that if they speak not according to this word, and that means the Bible, it is because there is no life in it. So God wants us to treat this with seriousness, as it should be treated. Why God will not allow these high places in our lives? And why God made this nation against I. Well, he doesn't think it's perhaps some high places in our lives that we maybe are not open with, because we like to keep this sin a secret. I know Christians who, for example, have battled in their home, and perhaps devoted to getting their horoscope every day before they go out to work. These are things that I think Christians are susceptible to. We need to be aware of whatever high place, whatever in our lives that we worship that is not God. And that can be many things, of course, material things, pleasures, and so forth. And the possibilities are endless, I'm sure. In your own life, you know what those high places are. So we need to allow God to make us to, through the strength of the consciousness, to conquer these high places. But it was also a hard place, high was. There's an expression caught between a rock and a hard place. Well, high was really such a place for the Israelite people. I think they remembered the lesson well after this. And it may be why God allows sometimes these defeats to come into our lives. We might remember the eyes. The eye trouble. Eye trouble, you can tell the eye. It is right there. Begins with pride. Well, I was such a place. But God said in the Lord, the God of all flesh, is there anything to punish people? That's something he said later through Jeremiah. Surely it was true of that as well. But it was also, I want to suggest a holy place. A place where God met with his people to test them. Again, think of those things in your life that maybe he had brought you to think, well, I just can't live the Christian life as I know I should. I'm just going to have to budge a little bit. And in this area, I just can't. The fact is, we can't come to those things. It begins with where Joshua, the Israelites, acknowledge their sins before God, and to let Him take control. To let Him do it. Let Him win the victories, and just allow us to be co-laborers with Him, really part of His army. Surrendering to Him and letting Him win the victory through us. Well, this heaven. Praise God for the victory that we've had recorded here. I think it encourages us to know that this victory, when we let God have control of our lives. I is really a testament to the fact that God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask of him. We will just spend up all of it with him, trust him, and walk this life of courageous faith that he calls us to.